So today we're talking about a really important part of programming, and that's involving what happens when you have more than one thing, basically. So you're going to need arrays. That's the data type that you're going to need. So instead of just ints and floats, you're going to have arrays of them. And then along with that, it comes with the for loops, which is what you need to iterate over the array. So anybody know what it means when I say iterate?
Anybody here, by the way?
Oh, okay. Anybody know? What does it mean to iterate? Yeah. Yeah, same. You repeat doing the same thing over and over. Yeah. So just want to make sure everybody can speak English. And so iterate means just going through and doing the same thing to each part of your array, basically, each item in your array. So that's what you do with the for loop. Okay, so what we're going to do today, we're going to look at what it means to have a variable and what it means to have variables inside an array. And then we're going to tell you what arrays are. And then we're going to tell you how to access the arrays, which is basically using for loops. So for loop is designed to access arrays. And then we're going to give you a chance to show what you have so far in your text adventure, which you have at least four stages done. I see that look. Right, you should have four stages. Okay, because it's due Wednesday. So variables, as we know, are basically something that can theoretically have take on certain types of values, right? So for example, if it's my box, then the my box can take some particular value, for example, 21, 12, whichever. And arrays are actually just a set of these boxes, right? So it's being shown here as a kind of a storage facility. So you're putting a bunch of these boxes inside, and each box is kind of like a variable. Okay. So then each of these items or variables, basically, you have box sub 0, box sub 1, box sub 2. Just means like the first item in the box, the 0th item in the box, etc. Remember that thing where we did Fibonacci and we started with 0? There was a good reason for that, because in computer language you start always with 0. 0 is your first, you know, item. And then the first item is box sub 1. You know, so it'd be the 0th item, then the first item, then the second item, etc., etc. And then how many items are there in this array?
Four.
Right, so 4 is just, so you notice the last item is just 4 minus 1. That's always the last item. The last item is always the number of items minus 1. 4 minus 1. That's why the box of 3 is the last item. Because 3 is 4 minus 1. Right? So if you have 12 items in your array, then what's the last item? Yeah, so it'd be array sub 11. Right? Cool. So remember that. That's very useful to know. So why do we want to use arrays? So arrays are really efficient because they're basically they put the stuff that's close by in computer memory together. So in this case, what's being shown is that there's a variable and it has on it, like it's remembering the number 1. And then the array is remembering not only 1, but 1, 6, 4, 5, 3, 2. Right? Like for example, some phone number or something. So the array is kind of those items in order. And what's the size of this one, array?
6.
Exactly, 6. So the last item in that array is what? Is array sub... Huh? Yeah, exactly. What about the first item? So array sub 0, right? Okay, so as long as you guys understand all that, that's all good. So what does it look like when you declare an array? When you declare an array, there's many ways to do it, but one way is you put everything in this upper part of the curve. In other words, this array is already set. You're not going to change it, right? So in this case, you're putting 90, 50, 150, and 30. So this array is size 3, right? And then numbers, what is number bracket 1 in this array?
90.
No. That would be numbers bracket 0. Remember, this is what we just talked about. What's numbers bracket 1? Is there a consensus? Yes, 150, because numbers bracket 1 is the second item in the array. Is it confusing? Okay. And similarly, you can actually have arrays of things, right? Arrays of strings, arrays of... So it turns out, of course, strings are actually arrays of characters. So this is actually an array of arrays of characters. Okay, so let's start with strings. So we know what strings are. They're just a set of characters, right? In this case, names. What is names bracket 2? Exactly. So what is names bracket 2 bracket 0? Nice. Say that? Yes. Did everybody hear that? Ashley, speak up. She said R. Does everybody see that? Because it's just a set of characters. So, I mean, the important thing is that names bracket 2 is array, right? But of course, that is actually an array of characters. So that's why I said, well, you can just do names bracket 2 bracket 0. So that's the first character from array, which is R.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Can you always do that
arrays
containing strings?
I don't know. Why don't we try it, huh? This is such a great question. I love it when you guys are like down and dirty. You're like, are you sure you can do that? Like, you know, is this actually code?
Like, so if you could do that with all string arrays, I'm assuming you can't do that with like integer arrays, for example. Like, I mean, what's special about string arrays is that like strings are broken up into different characters, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Somehow I'm missing some numbers here. Okay. So. Okay. I mean, we actually don't need all these names, but let's just... So, I know, I realize you guys can't really copy as fast as I can here, but you don't actually have to have these names, so I'm just kind of doing it as an exercise. So, first I'm just going to print line... Name sub 2. That should be what? Okay. Unexpected. Oh, there's some crazy. Doesn't like my copying too much. Doesn't like my copying. Excuse me? Oh, a single quote? Oh, okay. It's possible. I don't know. Let's try this one.
Like, quotations have been somewhat different from
the doesn't always work. Actually, it doesn't like that. Yeah, I guess it likes this. Okay, let me just write it over. String, an array of strings called names is... Oh, I see. It's like a different quote than that quote. Yeah. Sorry, I'm only doing this side of the room. Okay. And then I'm going to say void setup. Anybody can see what I'm doing, right? Okay. And then we're going to do print line name sub 0. So this should give me what? Yes. Let's see. Yeah. Good call. So we're good. Is it? Can everybody see? Does anybody not understand what I did? Who understands what I did? JC, do you understand what I'm doing? Or is it clear? Okay. Just checking. Okay. Alright, so name sub 0 really is Ashley, right? So we're going to try this now, which is what Elena suggested. So it doesn't look like this works.
Maybe you're supposed to put it inside it?
Excuse me?
Maybe you're supposed to put it inside the video graphics? So like bracket 0, bracket 0, bracket, and then close bracket.
You want me to do what?
Like the 0 of the 0. Oh, it's like the bracket of the bracket.
Bracket?
No, the opening bracket and then closing bracket next to it.
Which bracket? This one?
Yeah, and then another one.
You want to do this?
Yeah, maybe?
Yeah, that doesn't work either. So here, let's go back to... I have internet today. So let's go back to processing string. And then this will tell you how to do everything, right? So I think the reason it doesn't work this way is because string is an object in this case. So even though it's a sequence of characters, it's stored as an object, right?
Oh, it's so, not stored as an object?
Yeah. It is an array of characters, but it's not stored that way. So what you have to do is you have to do this. Char at, right? So what you do is here. So now I'm going to do, I'm going to put a thing called Ashley, right? And I'm going to set Ashley equals the name sub 0. So everybody understood what that is, right? I'm just saying that, you know, I'm just setting Ashley to be that first element in the array. Okay? And then what I'm going to print is I'm going to print not Ashley, but the char. I need to look at the documentation. So it looks like it's something like Ashley.char at 0. Or maybe 1, I'm not sure. We're going to see. So let's run that. So that works. Everybody see that? So what happens when I do char at 3? What is that? What should it give me? Good job. Everybody see that?
Yeah.
It's not. So what I said was, you know, what I said earlier is that I claim that I can just do this, right? But actually, it turns out you can't, because in processing, the string is stored like a object. In C++, this will work. Yeah. In C++, this will give you A. Yeah. But this is actually nicer, because now you don't have to think about strings as arrays. Strings are just objects. They're just things. In this case, you're getting the string name Ashley, and then individually you can manipulate the string, right? So I know we haven't really gone over this, but you should definitely know this class very well. like, you know, how to do any of these, right? Like, so for example, let's do, you know, the easiest is just length, right? So Ashley, that length, what does that give me? What do you think that will give me? Excuse me? Well, the length actually is the number of characters in the input string.
Okay.
So, exactly. So let's try it. Bam, 6, okay? So what I'm saying is, like, you know, for your text adventure, you're going to be dealing with strings. You're going to have, like, an array of strings, probably. Right? Because each one of your stages is probably going to have their own text, right? So it could be text. It might not be string. It could be the text thing that I told you earlier instead of the string. But it could also be string. Depends on what you end up doing. Having fun. And then string, and then in this case, because it's a string, you have access to all these guys, right? So for example, there's some really interesting stuff like returns the index value of the first occurrence of a substring within the input string. What does that mean? What that means is if you want to do, for example, Ashley.index of L-E-Y, right? So in other words, I have a string, and then I want to figure out whether this string has a substring that I'm specifying. So when you do that, it's going to give you a 3, because 0, 1, 2, 3, 3 is where the L-E-Y in Ashley starts. This class is all going to be about Ashley. It's going to be Ashley that, Ashley. I'm sorry. But you have some great answers, so I should give you positive reinforcement. Yeah. It's gonna change soon. Sorry.
In this case, it's always better to give the specific value within the array of names. Like it's better than just print ln name 3.indexer.
Yeah, let's see. So what she... Wait, so before we go into that... Yeah. So before we go into that, does everybody understand? Does everybody understand? Do you understand? Okay. I had a feeling, but let's just, you know... So let's just... Don't worry, we're going to go over it. So strings array, right? So an array has a number of elements in it. So this name with this bracket means this thing is an array. Okay? So the array zeroth element is Ashley. The first element is Jim. So let's just do that first, okay? Before doing all this crazy stuff. Okay, we're gonna just print line name sub 0. And then print line name sub 1. Okay? And then we're going to do like dot 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 print line names sub. What's the last one? How do I get the last one?
0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes. Good job. Okay? So what do I get? What do I see when I do this code? Yes, great. So you're understanding it. There you go. Perfect.
So instead of putting 5, you can use names that. Yeah.
Okay. You guys are learning. You want to do this, right? Okay. It says cannot evoke length on the array type. What do you want to do?
Oh.
Oh, minus 1. Like this? So, okay. That's, hey, right now, the problem is not us. The problem is that this language has a specific, I totally get what you're trying to say. Like, you want to just give me the
number 5.
Exactly, because it's just 6, which is the length, minus 1, right? So first, in order to do that, we have to figure out in the array, So we go processing array, how to get the last, you know, how to get the length, right?
So
right.
I think it's just put length.
Yeah, it looks like it's like this. Yeah, you just answer your own question. So like this. Yeah. So the claim is when I do this, I should get the same answer, right? So let's see. Great. You guys are just too smart. Can you guys start losing some brain cells so I can teach you? So, okay, so people understand Ashley's like higher level thinking here? Does it? Does everybody understand this one? So basically, instead of using 5, because we don't know how long the array necessarily is, right? So instead of saying 5, you just say it's the length minus 1, because that we know the last one is the length minus 1. So in fact here, so in fact, what you can do is you can do print line names.length, and that will always give you the length of the array, in which case is going to be what?
One.
Length of the array.
So that's it?
Yes. So, print line. We don't understand what print line is. So Ashley, yeah, and then the length of the array, which is 6, and then the last element of the array. Okay. So that's basically what array is. Zuhan, do you understand?
Yeah, I got it.
Is there any part that's a little bit...
I just had this number and just like didn't show that element. I think that's still bad news that put the cards through the log, but not because
it's... Excuse me?
Oh yeah, because the names is kind of S. So you specify the, you know, so you see there's an S there, but in here there's no S.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the string has to be capital S. Yeah. So that's kind of a weird thing, but the capital tells us it's a class, basically. So it works out, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So it has to be capital S in the string. But yeah, any questions, just like, you know,
it's better to get them out and just clear it and then not worry about it. Okay, so everybody understand this part, right? So the other part that I kind of got into was this thing up here, this index of whatever. So that's just one string function that you could use. Right, there's many string functions in there. In this case, this index of function is basically for you to find some substring in your string. Like for example, we're gonna not do Ashley anymore. Does the word but you have like the best name for this actually. Yeah. Okay, like for example, for Xena, right, is the word in Xena. Like, you know what I mean? So let's do, I'll show you what I mean. So, yeah. So which one is that? 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. So this is Xena, right, first of all. We agree on that. And then we agree that names dot index, sorry.
Names 4.
You want to do this, right? I'm answering two questions at once.
Yeah.
You want to do something like this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So index of in, right? Yeah. Keep doing that. Are people still with me? Still with me? Okay. So names of 4 is Xena, names of 4 is the xenon, which I'm now calling the index of function to see if in is inside the name xenon. Right? So let's see it. And it is in xenon, and it's the first, not the zero character, but the first character in xenon. Like the
second
character, which is it's the xenon sub 1, basically. Yeah.
It's not the
name,
it's the
second. It's the names of 4 and the first, you know, the one if character in there. But not the zero. Anybody? Okay, I see.
The zero would be the Z.
Yes. Excuse me? Make it bigger?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think Elena has one first.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, is there like an array equivalent of index up, or do you just have like an array of find
No, because an index of is a function of a string. It's not a function of an array.
Yeah,
I know I'm making this super confusing, but...
No, that makes sense. I'm wondering if it's like an equivalent. If you want to, like, let's say, upside, actually, is there an action?
Yeah, we can see that. So we go back to an array. So this is an array. And, yeah, I think that's more difficult because in the array, each object is not, it could be like multi-objects, right? Like for example, when you have an array of strings, how do you determine index of that string and that string? I mean, so it's not the same type of thing to deal with.
Yeah, I think it's something like, is there an easy way to find like a whole element? Like,
you just use the index. You just use like the x, you know, second, third, fourth, whatever.
So like, say you don't have, let's say you have an array, and you're wondering like there is an element inside the array.
Oh, okay.
I think you do index, but then if it didn't work, then you would know that it didn't exist. Can you do that?
There should be a way to do that in Java.
Okay.
There should be a way to do that in Java. So. Yeah, that's a little bit advanced, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm saying you can look for actually in there. And it doesn't have a number, but you can iterate through the whole thing, though, right? So it's
yeah, so there's this page, which I found in 2 seconds, which is finding an element, particular element in an array. So I would look through this and see if, you know, but if there doesn't look like there's some basic function that...
Yeah, it sounds like you probably just...
Yeah, but there should be a way to do that in Java, though. But that would be an advanced thing. Fifi, question?
So, can you go back to your...
Because it's this function by definition gives you the first occurrence. Yeah, it's just what this function does.
Can I? Okay, if it was let's say.
So -1 tells you there isn't.
Well, maybe if there was more than an I in Xena, would it confuse things? If my name was like Xena or something like that.
What do you want me to do? On here. You want me to change your name, or do you want me to change the looking for?
Oh, how come I'm like minus one?
Because I changed it to M.
And I don't have an M.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it says -1, meaning there isn't one.
Okay.
It's probably super confusing, but we can, yeah.
If you go for PC and you want I and there are no I. And which one is
just gonna give you the first one. So let's do it.
Yeah.
So let's do it. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you give it
it will give you the first one. Just gonna do it. Okay. So Fifi, which one? What number do I put there?
Three.
S. So this is gonna be three, right? So you wanna do what? Fi.
I.
Okay. So, what do people think? Is it going to be one or is it going to be three?
Probably the first one.
Yeah. So, let's see. It's going to be one. Because it's giving the first occurrence of the heart. Okay. Confusion, right? Confusion? Okay. Slowly, I'm going to go over what all these smart asses are doing here. So, this part of the code is fine, right? This part of the code is just printing you different parts of the name. This part of the code is the same thing, right? Because I'm just printing the third part, you know, the third element, which is Ashley's the zero, Yue's the first, Aliza's the second, Fifi's the third. So that part's fine. Then there's a function called index of. Index of is a function of string. It's not a function of array. It's a function of string. So here it is. Whoops, not this one. We go back to string. So there is a bunch of different string functions. This is the kind of thing when you're doing the text adventure, it would be useful because you're going to be manipulating the strings, right? So one of those functions is called index of, okay? And index of returns the index. So index meaning 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, of the first time you see a particular string within your big string. So for example, let's say Brandy, right? I want to ask whether DI, that string, is in Brandy. So it is, right? Because Brandy's name is B-R-A-N-D-I. And the D is the, you know, so the,
alright, we got Brandy. This is going to be transformation. Nice and long. Transformation is your string, okay? And then the zero character is T, and then it's going to be the first character is R, etc., right? So 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 13. Okay? So far so good. These are the characters in your implementation. Then what you can do is that say this thing is equal to str. Okay? So string str is the transformation. Okay? Then this is a string object, so that means you can do str dot index of something, okay? So something is up to you to specify. So for example, if you want to know whether sport is in transportation, right? You want to know whether the word sport is in transportation. Like that could be a game, that could be your text adventure game is like, guess, you know, the word in my finger.
You left your head outside. This really is his head. Yeah. Until you start teaching, you can't be bored every day.
Thank you, son. We'll work out into the code for now. So I want to ask whether the word sport is inside the word transportation, right? So the people understand that, so it turns out it is, right? So if you had to write your own code to do this, would you be able to do it?
Yeah, you could.
You could, right?
There's a big lot of that.
So what were you doing? You would go through the word translation. You're going to say, T, is that what you want to ask? No. Next, R, is that you want to ask? No. You keep going until you get the S. At the point you get the S, you're going to say, is it S or S? Well, if that is the case, is my next character equal to the next character, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If at any point this is not right, like for example, if you have sports, right? So what happens when you put in sports? Then it's going to be S. Okay, so far so good. P, so far so good. O, A, not the same, therefore it's not. Then you go to P, then you go to S. Then you go to O, then you go to S, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And people do this, and in the end you'd be like, no. And then you return minus 1. But in this case, the sports is in there, right? Because it's a substring of this transportation. So what number are you going to return?
4.
Exactly, because 4 is the index of the first occurrence of this sport.
And if you ever return -1, it's not
that. Yeah. Is it clear? So now you know how to use the index of, hopefully, not useful at all.
Is it not?
No, I'm just saying. It's useful. Who knows? So everybody understands that part. So I think the idea is just that not necessarily that you know how to use index of, but you should be kind of familiar with how to use some of these, right? So there's like equals, which is much more easy, right? It'll just be like, does transportation equal transportation, right? You know, it'd be stuff like char at, which would be like the nth character from transportation, give it back to me, etc., etc. To lowercase, so you can convert your entire word to lowercase. That's totally doable in your text adventure. Like, for example, somebody types in their name, right? But you want to display on your graphic all in uppercase or something, then you would totally use that. Phoebe, Meister.
What if somebody means in one of those comparison strings to a specified object? Like, what do you specify?
So, in this case, they're telling you, whoa, in the index of, so if you click on it, they're telling you that they need a string as the argument. So the argument to this function, the input to this function is a string.
I meant for the equal function.
Oh, for the equal, okay, sorry.
Yeah, what does it, how do you connect it to what?
Yeah, they said specify object, but what they mean is just a string.
Oh.
The string object. So you have to give it a string object to compare against. Yeah. Yeah. But because you can give it a variable, so it looks like an object, right? So so it's all in this documentation. So like you have the string 1, string 2, right? And then it just says string is equal to string 2, right? Initially. And then if you change that CCCP to some other number, it's just not going to be the same.
Can you do like an index string like equal string,
you know? Yep, exactly. That's a great use of that. You can do index of that thing and then use that number to as an argument to the char app and then use that to do comparisons, like equal or something. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, basically, you could stack these functions any way you want, basically. But I think, getting back to Zena's question, though, is that, generally speaking, you want to try to make your code as readable as possible. So, like, unless this is very clear, then you might want to have another variable that says, fifi, you know, so string fifi equals names of 3, and then fifi.index of, or something like that. Right. It depends on how readable you think it is, kind of. Yeah. So let me save this. We're on day 6. Oops.
Oh, sorry. A6, level 0. Okay. Okay, so everybody understand? I can kind of move on. Okay. So, by the way, today's class is very foundationally important because you can't do anything without arrays and for loops. Like, you're going to be doing it in your text adventure, in fact. So we more or less know what arrays are. In this case, it's an array of strings, which is the hardest case. The other ones are much easier, the arrays of integers. I'll show you, but it's going to be easier. So let's go back to an array of integer. So this is kind of what we talked about. But just to show you again, when you have an array of data, then the zeroth element is this one, and then the first element is this one, et cetera, et cetera. So that just tells you that right there. So if you do a print line on these guys, print line num2, it'll be 4, for example. Yep, so the index is are these numbers. This is the index. That's what they mean by this index. And this is the value, this is the actual value. So I guess they want you to say, what is num sub 3 here? Yes. Because if you look at the third index, and that's 4 is the value. So there's a difference between the index and the value. What you just said? So same thing, when you have a... So in this case, it's a string, right? I know it's confusing, but in this case, it's a string, which is an array of... It's basically a sequence of characters, right? And the zeroth element of the string is H, the first element is E, etc., etc. Okay. There are other interesting things, right? So why do we keep talking about arrays and for loops? It's because of stuff like this. A string is just an array. An array of strings is an array. And then similarly, what is an image? It's actually just an array. It's actually a two-dimensional array. It's an array that goes this way and this way, and they're just numbers, right? So this.
Like 1.1, 1.2.
Yeah. If it's all black and white, it's literally just numbers. It's just like, you know, 144, you know, 0, etc., etc. In this case, it's more complicated because there's color, but the basic idea is the same. Like, the basic idea are you're specifying some brightness level at each place, right? But an image is a two-dimensional thing, so it's just an array going this way, right? But also, you know, array going down this way, so therefore it's a two-dimensional array.
So how, like, computers are able to identify images?
Yeah. Yeah. So luckily in processing, they take care of that for you. Remember that P image thing that I show you? They kind of, you can treat that thing just as an object, so you don't have to worry about what it actually is represented as. You can just like, oh, like, image this.
So you can manipulate the colors of the pixels of an image because of how it's being read, isn't it, right?
Yeah, you could. You can go in there, like, for example, if you know this, image class. So let's see. Let's stop this. So if you know this P image class, so you just do processing P image. It will tell you. This is just like string. It's the same thing we did with string. It's just now it's a P image, right? Processing image. It tells you kind of how to, you know, look for ways of doing this, right? So the loading is pretty clear. You just have a file name and load it into there. But there's some other things like the width, right? So this is these two functions are equivalent to the length in the string, right? For example, is that clear? Because now you have the width and the height of this image, right? And then similarly, update pixels, you're going to be able to change. So if you want to change Like you get an image, right? And you want to change the individual pixel values, you can actually use it like an array and then say update pixels. And then it will, your new changes will be reflected on the drawing.
So what array does that? Like, is there a default like, oh, white to like,
or like,
how does it read the
two-dimensional
array of
images? Who's reading? What do you mean?
How does it, like, processing, how does it read the two-dimensional array of images?
So right now you're not manipulating, but when you're not, it'll just draw that on the screen, like, using this image function.
I'm just storing.
But what I'm saying is you could theoretically go in there and change the values there. Like, so say you have a JPEG, right? And then you want to, by hand, change the middle to be a circle or something, right? Without using processing, without using the draw function. You could. You just go in there and change the array. Like, and then after you change it, you say update pixels. But of course, you could just draw in processing. Like, you don't have to do that. You could just draw the image and just say draw ellipse using the ellipse function, right? So then you don't have to do any of that array, specific array manipulation. Yeah, but you could. So like in computer vision, you do that. Like, because you get the image from the camera, right? Then say you want to draw a box on your face. Well, like, you know, you don't necessarily, you would have to draw on the thing that you're displaying. So you would actually do that. But anyway, it's, for now, you don't have to worry about that. So same thing with resizing, you can actually resize. So these are going to be useful for your projects, right? So there are times when you want to resize it. Like this will let you to have a, whenever you want to resize, like if somebody clicks the mouse button, if got smaller. This is how you would do it, because you resize it to a new width and height, and then you can call image to display it. Right? So just treat the P image just like an image, that it, just like an object, that you could do all kinds of interesting things too. Right? You can even do masking. Right? So this is, you could do filtering. So you could apply a filtering, and then it will blur it, for example. You know, and the way to do it is just, it's kind of, you know, I would, if you don't understand, I would get help with it. But for example, if I go into here, I see some code that does the filtering, and it tells me some different things. Like for example, threshold. In this case, basically, it's just like a cold filter where it's just everything above that becomes white, everything below that before it becomes black, for example. So your image in your text adventure could be filtered like this using these functions, right? You could blur, you know, you could do these funny, crazy things. I think the interesting thing is not the filtering. The interesting thing is that you can now do it based on user input. Right? You have that image, when the user clicks, you go boom, you know, like crazy. And then when they stop clicking, you go back to regular. You use your mouse press, or you use your mouse drag. Right? Are you excited? Is it exciting? Do you understand how you would do this with the image? Or then you have a demo. We can demo it later. I think we're getting a little bit, you know, sidetrack, but so for example, we can give you a homework that says just when the user clicks, I want to see, you know, this kind of invert, right? And when they don't click, I go back to the regular world. So you guys kind of know how to do that now, right? Or at least you know, like, kind of what to do, right? So you have an image, you load this image here. Right? And then when somebody clicks, you do the filter and you image it again, basically.
Isn't everything just
here,
the image? Like, or...
simple light is when you flip it, it turns to
reflection.
It turns to black. Something like that.
Turns to black?
Yeah, or it's like all the images in the grid, let's say we have niacin, and then all the images are black. But when you click it, like random image to make that image.
So when you click on it, does it flip or does it just show?
Flip and show the image.
Okay, so it's like the Price is Right kind of, right?
Yeah.
Or not Price is Right. What is that game show? Wheel of Fortune or like you she's supposed to flip the thing over?
Yeah.
So like all the boxes are black,
mm-hmm.
and then when you click on it
and the image flips.
Yeah. So if you have a body, you're supposed to do that. Yes, you can do that. Because you just, what is that? That's an array of images.
Yeah.
Yeah, so here. Very good example. All right. So what she's saying here is
like.
Yeah, so let's say there's I'm going to do the simple version. Right? The 2x3, right? Each one of these is a P image object. Right? And then you have a canvas in the size of, you know, whatever your size function is something that makes sense. Like, so if this was like, you know, 200 by 200, then you're going to have, what, 600 by 400, right? Yeah, whatever makes sense. And you can have some things in the middle as well, right? So what she's saying is like, initially, if you go black, this array that you're storing, you're just displaying black, and then when you get a user input, you just basically display it.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to flip it too, but let's first just display it. Okay. So how would you do that? Well, you're going to have a function in your draw that is displaying, it's a for loop that goes and displays each one of these guys, right? In each of these locations, right? Image at this location, etc. Alright? So 00, 200, 0, 400, 0, etc. Right? Right? But then your image has to be kind of like all, basically. So you're going to get another array that's a Boolean, right? A Boolean array. Why do you need a Boolean array? You need a Boolean array because you need to figure out whether I want to draw or I don't want to draw. In this case, initially, this is going to be false, 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 false. For each of the images. And then when you click here, you're going to compare that number, whether it's inside this box. And if it is, then you're going to set this to be true. Right? And then in your draw function, when you see true, you show the image.
But that's only the one of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
But in the loop, it will go through all of them every time. In the draw, it goes through all of them every single time.
But it tests that off, it's not so much over the truth, it tops it off, like, this way.
Yeah. So you can do this. This is kind of a large part of your price assumption, because it's a little bit of a complicated thing, right? You have to have an array to keep track of whether you're displaying or not. You have to have an array that's keeping track of the images. And then you have to figure out where you are. And if you're in the right place, you're going to draw. Right? And so if you figure out the right place to draw, you can also go into the next stage or something too. You know? Like this could be the main page. Right? Does this sound complicated?
What are we defining the
changes
in an array?
Like,
we're defining the
changes
in an array?
Yeah, because we're using the number of images, yeah. I guess you could say that, yeah. Yeah, that's if you want this particular thing. Now, you don't have to do that. You could do, instead of doing images, you just do, where are you? Like, in your mouse cursor, you just keep track of exactly where you are. Right? And then you just big if statement that says, well, I'm this square, this square, this square, this square, this square. But at some point, you need to keep track of the whether you're printing or not if you're doing images, because to me, this is a really easy way. This is an easy way. So the Boolean array with the image of image array, that's a super easy way. Because all you need is two arrays, and you got everything.
So we make our backgrounds, or like our main frame images, and we add them in an array. And then the Boolean, which is the image.
This is the super easy way, to be honest. This is easy. Like, I mean, it depends on how many of these you want. Well, it doesn't matter. Because even if it's big, you're going to have just different cases. They're just different numbers.
How do we call them?
Something stuff, that thing, dot, whatever. Well, in this case, you don't even need to call them, right? Because you're just displaying them. You just need to know whether you're displaying them or not.
Okay.
Everybody understand this one? So you can code this, right?
You
understand the logic? Yeah, you can code this. This is not a problem. Because we're going to go away today. So you just need a Boolean array and you need a P image array. Yeah.
Next question
is,
how to
use
image?
So flipping an image is, obviously you don't want to have to go through, you know, each pixel to do it yourself. And it's not inversion. So that would, I would talk about that later, because that's, yeah, so that's, basically you need to go through the array. Maybe there's a function in processing somehow, but if you have to code it yourself, right, then you have to go through your entire array, and every time you have to make a new array, and you put the values in the old array into it backwards. So, for questions, how would you flip an image, right? Obviously, there's a function in processing, you use the function in processing. Otherwise, you have to make a new array, right? This is your old array, and, you know, it's like this. Your new array, basically, you know, you have to go through each of these elements, right? You have to go, oh, here, I'm going to put it here. Here, I'm going to put it here. You see what I'm saying? However you want to do, line by line. Now another programming language is easier. In MATLAB, there's like one thing and just go, and this whole thing is like, you know, it's like one operation. It's like screen printing, you know, where you just go, and then it's all good. And then you go through the next line and do the same thing, right? So at the end of this, this line goes to here. 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 And you end up drawing this thing. You can write that. Oh, this is, you know, I think that's bad. This is totally doable. It's doable.
You can use scale, apparently, instead of negative,
but it's. Ah, that's smart. That's smart. That's what they say they do. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, you can do this as an exercise.
If you want to do it like that,
this one?
Yeah.
You make a new image, you make a new image, and then you do this like line by line, and then you update pixels.
Wait, so then I have to adjust,
yeah.
Like, so I have to realign every pixel?
You have to go through each pixel of your image, yeah. No, it's not that bad. So you have a double for loop. I think this is why you think it's hard. Because there's a for loop going, we haven't done for loop yet, we will. There's a for loop going here, but there's a for loop going here for every four.
So
you get it?
So
there's a for loop. The first, what's the big for loop? What's the outer for loop? this dimension. Because it's saying this line and 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 this line. The inner for loop is like this element and this element and this element. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So saying this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. Okay, next one. Next. Okay, next one.
So the point is mainly the
brain. Yeah.
For every
whatever. Yeah. So the for loop is totally, you know, the double for loop, you know, don't think it's that hard. It's just, that's very natural when you have a two dimensional array. Yeah.
Okay.
Totally kosher. Yeah. So the for loop basically is, you know, automating things. Actually, you should be very happy that you don't have to be writing image sub 0, 0, you know, image sub 0, 1.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do, actually. We're like, you know, print mine this thing sub 0, and then print mine this thing sub, you know, whatever. Like each thing. But now you can do the formula because it's an array. Now, you don't have to do this. Depends on what your text adventure is. You might not end up having to do that. So, any other questions? Are you just trying to get us to write your text adventure for you, Tito? You know? This is right here. Here's all the hard stuff I need to do. So anyway, so the idea here is just like there's different types of arrays, and for example, images are also arrays. So basically, you know, the stuff that you think is actually just objects, there's actually arrays. String is an array, you know. Okay, so same thing. What about animations? How is that an array?
It's an array of multiple images.
Exactly. It's an array. Exactly. So remember when we say an array of strings is actually kind of an array of characters. So the GIFs are basically an array of an array of pixels, right? Two-dimensional pixels. Because it's the images in time, right? Yeah. So, okay. So, for loops, we kind of already started thinking about this, but we're just going to kind of show you what the code looks like. It's kind of related to the idea of, you know, when you're reading a book and you want to, like, increment, you know, say you want to read every 5 pages of a book or something, then you're going there flipping it 5 pages at a time, right? So, if you want to read every page, you just do every one page. So the for loop allows you to go however you want to go. You want to go every page, or every 2 pages, or every 3 pages. You know, when you loop through your thing, you don't always have to go one at a time. You can do how many ever you want at a time. So, but the key idea is just to iterate. This is what it means to iterate that we're talking about. So you just want to do the same thing over and over on each element of the array, basically. So this is what the structure looks like. For int I equals 0. So this is the only time, I think this is the only time, that you're allowed to put a assignment within the kind of structure. Remember I said that like you want to put your assignment as separate statements all the time? This is the only time you're kind of allowed to do that within the structure. Because what's happening is that the for loop just declares an integer, right? So that integer starts at 0, and then it's going to go 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. Because here it says I less than 5. When I is equal to 5, it stops. It's over. And what happens in between the loop is this thing called I++, which just means I is equal to I+1. Okay, so I'm going to just write this like in a very simple 5 manner. So this looks kind of funky, it's okay. This is just the way boilers happen to be expressed. The core idea is very simple. The core idea is just you know, you have something that's indexed by some number from 0 to 5, 0 to 4, and you just go through each, you know, each thing. So the basic idea is very simple. But basically, the for loop just said, like, you declare an int, and set that to be 0, right? And then you keep going as long as I is less than 5. So the 5 here is basically array size, what they are. Alright? So it's going to go from 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, basically, repeatedly. Right? And then every time it does the statement that it's supposed to do, at the end of it, you say I plus 1, basically. At the end of the thing. So it's going to be like, so it does this once. So it's kind of like, if you think about it, this is kind of like processing, right? And the setup is I equals 0. Okay? And then it's going to do something over and over. It's kind of like the draw function. It keeps going. But in this case, after each time it does kind of the quote draw, it's going to increment the I equals I plus 1. And then it will actually stop, unlike the drawing function which keeps going, it will actually stop when I is increasing all the time. So the last time it increases, it's going to be equal to 5, and then that one just stops. That's all it means. That's all it
learned. So it keeps moving, it doesn't help the loop?
Yeah, until it gets to 5.
I thought it was 4 loop, right?
Does it make sense, everybody? I think it's once you see the code, you know, it'll be kind of clear. So that's the example. So the simplest example we could do. If you guys want, you can type it in there right now just to see what it looks like. I'm too lazy to do it because it's, you know, just what it is. So in the setup, you can just write this. So why don't you guys all try to type into your code just to make sure you're getting acquainted with it. You write a for loop for int I equals 0, I less than 5, I plus plus. You're just going to print I, right? You're basically just printing I. Print line I. And then you need to graph. Yes. Because the last part of that for loop is telling you what to do when you finish it doing one time. Like, what do you need to do?
Does it do that on its own?
No, you need to write plus plus. But because you don't have to do I plus plus. You could do I equals I plus 5. Then you're reading every 5 pages.
Wait, so even if it's in setup, I'll keep adding up to 5.
Excuse me?
So even if it's in setup, I'll keep adding until it adds up to 5. Or
yeah. It'll keep. So the question that you guys are having is why the I plus plus, basically. So it works like this, right? So right now it's like I less than 5, right? So you have a for loop be constructed int I equals 0, right? So let's just do I less than 10, okay? And then I plus plus, right? So if I do that, and then I'm executing code s, it's just going to be print, basically, right? Let's just say print I or whatever, right? So what does this code look like? What am I going to see? The printing. Yeah.
0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, exactly. And then going to, when it goes to 10, it's over. Now, instead of I plus plus, we say I equals I plus 2. Because that's just not going to have 2. For now, I equals I plus 2. What would happen when I execute 2? 0? Yeah, can we get the 0? Until this thing doesn't work anymore. Yeah. So, what do I see here? 0, what?
2, 4,
6, 8. That's it. Alright? So similarly, if you do I equals 9 plus 3, it'll be 0, 3, 6, 9. When it goes to 9, it adds 3 to get 12, right? 12 is not smaller than 10, it stops.
And then
you
can also do something like I equals 100.
Great point. So what she's saying is that you can do if I, so here, you can say if I equals 10, and then I greater than 0, for example, and then this could be I minus minus, right? What would that be? What would I see? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Isn't it cool? Like this for loop, you can basically you can do any sequence, basically. Now, if you get an array, then these are kind of the only two you're mostly going to do most of the time, right? Because you're going to go one side of the array to the other, or the other side of the array to itself. Most of the time, it's just going to be one side or the other, right? But, you know, you could do things like this, like, for example, your text adventure is like, you're updating every other stage. You know, that's totally kosher. Like, when they click a certain button, then all your stages that have the teddy bear come out is going to come out. Then you're going to update some Boolean variable that is now going to be true for all those video stages. So, that's the formula. So it depends on what you want to do. Any questions? Does it make sense? Does it make sense?
Yeah.
People understand for loops? Okay. We're gonna like kind of practice it a little bit. So, but the basic idea though is you can do any sequence. Yeah. Okay. So the good news, though, is that you never have to do, you know, print line 0, print line 1, print line 2, print line, you know, you never have to do that again. You just do print line once, and you put that in a for loop, and it prints everything. Yeah. This is what we talked about. So in this case, you can also, instead of putting the number 5 in the I less than 5, kind of what Ashley told us earlier, you can put the num.length, right? Because that's the length of the array. So this way, when you change the array to be some other length, to be more different numbers and different size, your for loop code doesn't have to change. So this is a better way to do it, if you're looping through an array. Does that make sense? No? So, this number, right, is 5, because it's, oh, sorry, 4, because this is an array of size 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. So, what I'm saying is, instead of putting the number 4 here, you just put num.length. So, next time, if you're thing becomes like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you don't have to change this for loop anymore. So it's better to just have this length there.
Is that so pretty much all of them in this case?
Yeah. So in that case, you can put anything here, and it'll still work, right? Like, it could be as long as you want, it'll still work. You can change your code later. Yeah, and so you're guaranteed to go through the entire array. You're not going to be like, there's not going to be a bug in there where you go like, shit, how come only it works for half of my stages? Okay. So, you guys can try this. Did you guys try this? Yeah, it's fine. Where does it print out? Yeah. 1 is the current value, 2 is the current value. Okay, so I know there's a lot of, I'm going to give you guys like 2 minutes to just chill. because I know there's a lot of information today. And we're about to have another couple pieces of new information. Basic idea, though, is you have arrays, right? And you have for loops that go through the array. But, of course, the for loop doesn't have to go through every element. You could go through every other element or anything like that. But it's a way to loop through the array arrays. But there's actually other operations. So some of them we already talked about. So these are just things that you can look up. You don't necessarily need to memorize these. You just need to know how to use it, right? So, for example, there's the append function, right? So what happens is here is that append takes an array and an item. Okay, so you guys who are on processing right now, you can just go and type this in real fast because you kind of already have something on here. So the num, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you just create another array, num2 in this case, and it's going to append, and you're going to append 5 to num. So you're appending the number 5 to this array. When you do that, and you print a new array, tell me what it looks like. You don't have to print this like its current value if you don't want to. I mean, you can just do print line num2 sub I. I tend to say like sub I for this bracket thing. That's what I mean when I say sub, you know, this bracket thing.
It just adds I and just do things like that first.
Yeah, so you printed out the elements of num2, right? And it's just 0, 1, 2, or sorry, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? Yeah. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
It's okay, take your time. Take your time.
Should you actually cancel out the first one?
Huh?
You
Yeah, you don't need the other. Yeah, just write this thing and see what it does. This is just an example of a function on the array. There's other types of functions. You know, like, you know, another example, like, why would you use this, right? Is, you know, so, for example, if somebody's typing text into your text adventure, right? Well, you basically have an array that's keeping track of what they type, right? And then the more they type, the bigger your array becomes, right? So you're going to have to do append whenever you get a new input that they typed, for example.
So append just adds to how much is it?
No, it adds new elements to an array.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But you need to make a new copy or new... You need to declare some new thing to accept, you know... If you put the old thing in there, then your old one will be gone, basically. You could do that, but your old one will be gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why can't I just add an extra? I'm confused. Why can't I just add the extra element in the array?
Yeah, you could. It's just, then you just have to say num equals append num5. Yeah. But it's just, you know, like most of the time you want to see the past and present kind of, you know, like you make the new one, you put, you know, whatever you need to do on it, and then you make sure that works. Then if you need to change it so that you're just putting on the new one, then, you know, do it on the new one. But yeah, you could do num equals append num5.
Yeah,
you could do that.
So it's not the 5 to the value of the num2.
5 is the new element that you're putting into the... So it's going to be the 4th element, the 0, 1, 2, 3, 4th element of your new array, of num2.
And
the
num2.
Yeah, everybody with that? Yeah. You're going to put that on the... Nice, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Good job. Do you understand it?
Yes.
Yeah, the new one, yeah.
So it's
5,
so
it goes to the length of this one, not this one. The length of this one. Yeah. So the length of the number 2 is now 5, because it's 5 elements. Not the 5 elements, it's 5.
So we are adding 5, but the 4th one, we're doing.
Yeah, for example, instead of 5, you can put 2 there. Yeah, so it's one there again.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
So this length, if you print line to length, it's going to be what? Exactly. You got it. So the 2 is not the length of anything. The 2 is just the value that you put in here. Yeah. But the length is 5, yeah. It's a new leg after the attendant.
And then not to the attendant is
the new one. The new array.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What is the length of 1? Or why is it 5?
Wait, you mean the num2 got length?
Yeah, but...
What do you think it should be?
1.
What? So num2 is actually appending 5 to here.
Oh, okay, so after it's added.
Yeah, this is just one function. This is what append does. So there's other functions that do different things. We can just look at the processing reference. Yes. Yeah. It returns an array. And then it returns the array. Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. That's a good clarification point, is that the append function gives you an array that's necessarily going to be bigger than the original array that you gave it. Yeah, because it's appending something to the array of the first
one.
Yeah, that's a good question. So you can just see what the reference manual does, or you could just go and do it. But so you go processing array, and then you go find, oh, I guess you should do a processing array append or something. Right? Then you find this append function, and you just see what it can do. Looks like it's doing one at a time. Yeah, it looks like it's doing one element at a time. So you're thinking whether you can append 2, 3, 4 things in there, right? You could try to give it an array, but then it might give you an error saying that it's... Yeah. So that is one at a time. Yes.
So in the slide
you just had up, yeah. If you change
the
num
to array, the second statement, if you change that to just say num array, it will depend num 5, that doesn't work. And why is that?
Okay, let me
see. Like if you're just trying to add 5 to like the current array? Because it's wrong. Then there are two things.
Well, this is num 2 now. You gotta do num 1.
Oh, like, just like if you ignore this for a second.
Well, you can't use the parallels.
Okay, so you say num equals. Okay.
There's still something wrong, but I don't think it's.
Yeah.
You probably don't want to put this on the setup or something.
And then, why do we
something in the order from the mountain to, this is we're saying this is an array of all mountain to, and it's new. So like only when you initialize array, you need to add that.
Oh yeah, so the bracket is just, that's a good question. So the question is like when you need to write a bracket and when you don't need to, right? So you need to write a bracket here because you need to tell the computer basically that this is an array. So therefore you can assign these things to it. So you can even do this without this thing and then do that here, right? Right? So if you do that, you have to, the computer has to know that this is an array. So that's why you need the brackets here. But in here, the times when you need the brackets when you actually reference the individual values. The times when you need to just say, oh, this is an array, when you apply it to a function, you give it to a function, this is my array, then you don't need the bracket because it's the it's like the name of the array is it's like the array. It's kind of like, it's like a nice one. When you write the code, it'll be clear when you need the bracket and when you don't.
So there is not a way of putting a single bracket into the array, into the array, because it has like two different arrays here. And the syntax says it requires an array in the first group of parameters. But I was wondering if there is a way to put the value into the array.
Yes, then you wouldn't use it. So, that's the much simpler. This is a much harder version. So, if you just want to put a value into some part of the array, you just do, just do this. You just say, num, bracket, whatever number you want, say 0, equals whatever number you want, like 2.
And that's how you define a specific value.
Yeah. This will set the first element to be 2. So this appending thing is a much more complicated thing. The appending thing is like, I want you to take care of this bigger data set for me. I gotta give you more numbers and then you're gonna put it at the end.
Oh, but it just
doesn't
make sense according to the order that you have.
Yeah. So usually you're going to do this, okay? Usually you're not going to do the append. So maybe that was a little confusing. That was like a slightly advanced exercise. Usually you just say your array is already like 5 size long, right? It's always going to be 5 size. And then when you get some number, you just update that. So you just say the last one, the num.length-1, set that to be 2 or whatever. That's what you're usually going to do. You're not going to need to append most of that. Append is when you have new data, and then somehow you need to store more data. Then you make a new array, and you put that bigger array into it. Yeah.
What if I want to put 5 into the middle of that array? Like,
put it in
the middle of 2
and 3? In an existing array or in a bigger array? Well, are you reading anything?
In a big 2, I want to have 5 more.
You want a bigger array. So then what you do is you declare an array that's length equals 1. Whatever that is plus 1.
Yeah.
And then you go into for loop and you say as long as this is less than the length divided by 2, keep going, don't do anything. When it's equals to length over 2, you put that number there and then the next, everything above that is the next number. You get it?
Yeah.
Do you want to do that as
no.
an exercise?
No.
I think we should do that as an exercise. That's a great question. Did everybody understand the question first of all? Let me see if I have any slides left, because if we don't, then this is what we're going to do. Yeah, we don't have anything left. Okay. Does everybody understand her question first? So her question is like, she wants to, instead of put something at the end of an array, she wants to put it in the middle of the array. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Is that part? Okay. So how would we do that? Anybody?
Will it have to be two steps?
Huh?
Will it have to be two steps?
two steps.
Can you re-identify what you call the index? Like, you know, the index, can you re-make one? Let's put it in there.
Well, but she wants to keep the original data.
But, like, order-wise. Could you do one out of order and then rename the one you just added to a different?
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was just a... So you have to add it and then say index plus number 5 and that one right.
Oh, I see. So there's two different solutions, okay? So that's at least two, maybe more, right? So here's solution number one. We're going to pseudocode. Let's just pseudocode, okay? So first of all, we're going to make a new thing because it's not about strings anymore. So let's do it together. Instead of doing this other stuff that I have here, we're just going to do this, okay? I'm going to make a copy of this. I'm going to call this demo 2 array. Append. No, that's okay. Just call it array. And then I'm going to rename this guy. Okay? I'm going to delete the stuff from before because we don't really need it. Do you guys want to use strings or you want to use ints? Ints maybe because we haven't done that yet? Okay. So, what are these ints representing? Maybe like... favorite numbers, because I'm going to ask for all you guys' favorite facts, okay? Okay, this is great. Brandy, what's your favorite number? Wow, so positive. JC, favorite number?
3.
3, nice. Ming, what's your favorite number? 6. Wow. These are all like psychological things, obviously. Zihan, what's your favorite number? Okay. Ronnie, what's your favorite number? Okay. That's fine. No. You don't compromise. You just. John, what's your favorite number? Okay, we are going to do 2 more. 2 more.
Also,
gee, you guys, death. Favorite number between Fifi and Dina, one of you. Favorite number.
9.
Okay. All right. So these are my new favorite numbers. Okay. So I just want to like kind of go step by step so you guys understand what arrays are doing, okay? So first of all, we're just going to do a for loop, okay? So int, I actually like using k, sorry guys. Okay, so just to show you that the I doesn't matter, it's just any variable, okay? I'm going to use k, so hopefully you guys can, okay? So what am I going to say here? K, what? I just want to loop through these guys.
0.
Excuse me? I want to loop through this array. Good. Very good practice. That's what you should do. You could have done 8, but it's much better to do phase.length. I love it. And then? Just to show you that, okay, I won't do k plus 1. You could do k equals k plus 1, it's fine. But, okay, but let's not make people angry. So then I'm just going to do print k plus, okay. What does this mean? What does this mean that I'm doing?
Oh, and then, comments that each one of them prints out?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just putting them all, and then, I mean, I don't even need a comma, you just need a space. Just to, you know, just to see it. Okay, so let's get out, so I can run this. When I run this, what happens is I get the 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
What?
It's because I'm printing the index. Wait, how do I fix it?
Yeah, just
huh? Print, well, that's true, but what if I want to print the values of this array, not the index? Faves, bracket, k. By the way, this happens a lot, okay? So did you guys see what I was doing? So I was doing this, right? So those are the indices, right? Right? So those are the indices. If I do it this way, it's going to be index followed by the actual number, right? So let me just, actually, we might as well do that. Anybody see what I'm doing now? I'm putting out the index followed by the value.
Do you have to participate with the brackets K and the insert
K? You want to print what? You want to print this?
Yeah.
Sure, let's try it. What do you think we're going to see?
Error.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, processing is really, they're just not going to. You see that? Everybody see what's going on? It's printing out the actual array. The array being kind of, you know, but you shouldn't do this, like, obviously, because we're not printing out the values here. We're printing out the address of this array.
Oh, we're not printing out the values.
Yeah. We're printing out where this array is stored in computer memory. So, those of you who didn't get that, just forget it. So, this is what I'm doing now, okay? So, I'm doing 0, that's the index, followed by 4, which is the first number, right? Does everybody understand this thing so far? This thing? The 0th element of phase is 4, because that's Brandy's favorite number. So, based on this, what is John's favorite number? Zihan, what is John's favorite number?
John?
Yeah.
Four.
Okay, and then tell us how you got that. If you didn't remember, how did you see it from here? Damn it, too smart, too much smartness.
I didn't know that could be all numbers, like first common.
Okay. So this is the index, right?
Yes.
So this is the first 0th element, first element, 2nd, 2nd element, 3rd element, etc. And these are the values of that, you know, index. So 4 is Brandy's favorite number, 3 is JC's favorite number, etc. So by looking at this, how do you figure out John's favorite number? Yeah, so you just read this, right? This is Brandy, right? This is JC, this is Ming, this is Dion, this is Ronnie, this is John, right? And then he's the first position, and the value there is 4. So his favorite number is 4. Okay, based on this, it was Fifi, but I don't know if it's kind of Fifi / Dina's favorite number. Let's just say Zina. What's Zina's favorite number? What's the Zina's theoretical favorite number? Anybody? Ming? What's Zina's theoretical favorite number? Nice. How did you get it? You guys are all... Hey, look, you guys are all smarter than a computer. I don't know what to say. You know?